This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Senior day tomorrow, 3 o'clock tip, 2 p.m. pregame coverage right here on 105.7 The Fan. And joining us is the voice of the Maryland Terrapins. He'll be calling the game with Chris Nockey and the Wizard Walt Williams. It's Johnny Holiday. He joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Johnny, thank you as always for your time. Let's start here, though. Obviously, we want to get to Julian Reese, but we just had Selton Miguel on the show last segment. And we have loved that kid since minute one here at Maryland. Finally got the chance to talk to him. You know him better than we do. I assume you love that kid as well.
Absolutely. He's one of the greatest interviews we've ever had. He's as personable as they come. Loves to play the game. Loves to shoot the three and make the three. And just plays with so much enthusiasm and brings that veteran leadership to this basketball team that I think they lacked a lot of last year. I mean, he's got more points scored than anybody in this Maryland team in his 5 years in college, in different colleges. Just a great kid, a kid that I love talking to and visiting with, as nice as can be. And I really admire him for what he and his brother are doing for that little charity thing they got back in their home country of Angola.
Well, Johnny, how cool has it been for you? You've obviously been around this program forever, and we saw kind of a style. there was a kind of a style of play with Terz that I think to some people maybe wasn't as appetizing or as appealing from an aesthetic standpoint. And then obviously, you know, it was a transition to Coach Willard, and then last year was a tough watch. To watch a team like this with two bigs who can dominate inside, three kids who can really stroke it from beyond the arc, the way they can run and hang 90 on somebody if it's the right kind of climate, as someone who's calling all these games, how much fun has it been for you to be able to kind of call this style of basketball?
I think it's a lot more fun than losing.
Yeah.
I mean, losing is painful, as you well know. I never like to fly the flag too much for Maryland, but I work for the university. I've been under contract for many, many years. I want to see these guys win. But I also have to give credit to other teams when they're playing well. But what I think people forget to take a look at the numbers of what Kevin Willard did at Seton Hall. The most games he's ever won was 25. They won the Big East Championship. They got to the NCAA. And I think he was 25 and like 7 or something like that. Yeah, 25-7 back in 2015, 2016. It's the second most wins he's had in his basketball coaching career. 23 wins so far for Maryland this year. Last year, they only had 16. His first year, he had 22. And I think it just goes to show you, when you take advantage of the portal, you get the right guys, the right fit to blend in. Anything is possible. And certainly, this starting five is the best, I think, in the Big Ten, as evidenced by the numbers they have. They're averaging, you know, not too much off the bench point-wise, but the guys that come out off the bench do other things. But I think Kevin Willard sometimes goes under the radar and should be given more credit for the guys he's assembled, guys like Miguel and guys like, you know, Jacoby Gillespie comes in and Rodney Rice comes in and and you put them with a veteran like Juju and a freshman like Derek Queen, you've got yourself a pretty good team.
Johnny, we thought it was really cool, Kevin Willard after the game against Michigan saying that Saturday is going to be about Julian Reese, and he's a unicorn in today's day and age in college athletics, staying all 4 years despite a coaching change in the middle of it. How special of a senior day is it going to be for Julian tomorrow?
You know, I went out today and I did an interview with Julian around 12:15. It's probably the best interview he's done in 4 years. The thing that impresses me about him, not only the fact that he stayed home, you know, when his sister hit the road and went down to LSU, you wondered, is Julian going to follow her? Is he going to go with her? Is he going to go somewhere else? But he stuck it out. And that takes an awful lot for a kid to pass up the money they were dangling in front of him and the possibility of going somewhere else. But he said, no, I want to play here. I grew up in Baltimore. I want to have my family, my friends come see me play. And the piece that I did with him today, we talked about, and he doesn't like to talk about his numbers and his how he's going to, you know, be in the record book and so forth. I said, you played 120, this will be your 129th game. You lead the Big Ten in double-doubles. You've got 35 in your career. You've had, I mean, you've had a marvelous career. What do you want people to remember you by? And he had a very simple answer. That I play hard, I give it my best every game, and that's all I can do. And he doesn't want to hear about numbers. He doesn't want to hear about legendary, none of that stuff. He said, all I want to do is win and be part of a winning team. He said, I worked in my free throws. No kidding. He's shooting over 70%. He said, I worked in other aspects of my game. And I did ask him about a game against Illinois this year when he had 27 points and 17 rebounds. Was that the highlight of his career? And he says, well, I think I played pretty good against Purdue last year. I said, yeah, against the big guy that they had with Zach Edey? Yeah, are you kidding me? He said, I'm banging against guys bigger than I am, and I've been able to hold my own on with most of them. And I'm really happy for what I've done.
Well,
he's just a great kid.
Well, and Johnny, I kind of felt like the Penn State game kind of was emblematic of, like, okay, so he wasn't shooting the ball well that game, but you know, you were only going to need about 65 points to win anyway. But to go to that house of horrors and have him grab 15 boards and steal the ball six times, they credit him with three blocks. I thought he had more like four or five. That to me was sort of like. That shows the dirty work.
Well, you know, sometimes people just look at points. How many points does the guy score? Now, certainly the last three games, he hasn't been lighting it up. 4 points, 4 points, 6 points. But you point out the Penn State game, when you go up there, it is a horror place to play. And he only took, I think he took five or six shots in that game. He didn't shoot too much. And to be able to do other things when the ball is not going through the net, I think that's a special player to do something like that. So he contributes in so many other ways. And I would like to see the fans that come out tomorrow, and it should be sold out, recognize him with a standing ovation, because he's exemplified what a good student athlete should be. He's good in the classroom. He's wonderful in the community. He's never lost sight of where he came from up there in Baltimore. And I think he's a welcome addition to basketball this day and age.
We're talking with Johnny Holiday. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Johnny, you mentioned the fans, and we were at the Michigan State game, and obviously it didn't go the way they wanted, and they come back and they win two on the road to bounce back. But the atmosphere in the Xfinity Center last Wednesday was incredible. You've seen almost every game there. I can't imagine there were many that had better atmospheres. And so with that said, what are you expecting tomorrow?
Well, what I expect and what's going to show up, I don't know. You know, Maryland fans are funny. I mean, when things are going good, they're with you. And sometimes when things are rocky, you know, here comes the bus. We're going to throw you under the bus. So I would hope that they would pack the place. I mean, they're not going to have a chance to see these guys in person again unless they go to the Big Ten tournament and then the NCAA tournament. But I think these guys deserve to have the place packed. If you can get the same kind of atmosphere you had against Michigan State, that is a big, big plus for this basketball team. And Northwestern's not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, we lost up there in a buzzer beater in overtime, and we haven't beaten them in quite some time. It'd be a nice way to finish up this season. I mean, 24 wins? Are you kidding me? After winning 16 last year? So I hope the place will be packed. It should be.
Well, Johnny, looking ahead, a win, it gets them a double bye in the Big Ten tournament and then the NCAA tournament to follow. It's been a while since this team's made it to the second weekend in March Madness. What is the potential for this group?
I think they can win the Big Ten tournament, depending upon who they get matched up with. Everybody else will be knocking everybody else off. But I think they can go a long way in the NCAA tournament, depending upon the bracket. Hmm. I've seen some of the brackets, and one of them has them in the same region with, I think, Duke.
Yeah.
Would that be a nice showdown, Maryland-Duke in the NCAA tournament? The NCAA would go crazy. So I think that, I mean, it depends upon if these guys can play the way that they are capable of playing, they can beat anybody. But you got to have those five guys, you know, play the best games that they played all year and hope to get something off of the bench. And with Derek Queen and Julian Reese in the middle and these other guys on the wings and the guards, I think Maryland's going to be very, very tough out in the NCAA tournament.
Johnny Holiday will be on the call tomorrow. Pre-game coverage starts at 2, tips at 3 right here on 105.7 The Fan. Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey, Walt Williams, Terps, and Northwestern. Johnny, thank you as always for your time. We do appreciate it.
Great to be with you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we have the hot stove. You want to hear some
time? And Alex.
Yeah, well, and Popo.
Yes, but Alex.
Yeah, yes. Tyler O'Neill spoke. We'll hear a little of that. And Grayson Rodriguez, do we have an update? Well, we'll let you know.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games
or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Next here on The Fan.
Yeah, really excited to stay in the division. Obviously Baltimore came at me early in the free agency process, so just very thankful for how everything turned out. You know, I'm going to a winning organization. You know, I think I fit in really well here, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we can do this year.
We have dubbed him the Sultan of Swing. That's Tyler O'Neill. He's the Canadian outfielder the Orioles signed this offseason. He's got the only technically multi-year deal, though. There's an opt-out after 1 year, and he's happy to be an Oriole. He has got some sore ribs, though. But the Orioles are saying right now nothing to see here. We have not gotten an update today yet, though.
Yeah, will the skipper make it to the game on time, I guess, is one question. Will he speak to the media before said game? If he
it's a roadie. It's in Lakeland.
I know. And will he offer any sort of meaningful updates on Grayson Rodriguez, Gunnar Henderson, Andrew Kittredge, O'Neill? They're not going to say much about.
We'll see.
He's either back in 2 or 3 days or he's not. If he's not, then it might be a little more than what they originally intimated.
Well, he said that he's going to give an update on Kittredge and what's next in that process, but hopefully we get something about Grayson.
I'd like to hear something about Grayson, and if you're just tuning in, you were under a rock. Wednesday was a little bizarre with him pitching and sluggish, and he's okay, but now he's not, and then talking afterwards. And, of course, Hyder was involved in he wasn't in the accident, but there was a semi-accident on 75, and so he didn't get to the stadium until an hour into the game. It was just a bizarre day.
Yeah, it was something, and we still, obviously are waiting on any sort of more firm diagnosis and eventually, I guess, timeline for Grayson Rodriguez. But if you've covered professional sports at all or you've covered Major League Baseball at all, and I've done both, there are certain times in the year with certain prized assets where you have to immediately start playing the long game. And with how little Grayson Rodriguez has pitched, and frankly, with how little he's pitched well, because his velo was down in the other game he pitched where there was StatCast data available. Right. With him trying to do different processes and different things to avoid the lat injuries that have dogged him. With them flipping out members of their coaching staff yet again. With them talking him up as a potential ace, even though they haven't been able to get him through a full season the last 3 years or so in the majors or minors without significant setbacks. You know, when you've got all that boiling in a cauldron and you didn't do anything to replace Corbin Burnes outside of a 41-year-old major league pitcher and a 36-year-old Japanese league pitcher, you better handle this situation with kid gloves. There better be constant communication between this young man and this medical staff and this baseball operations staff and this coaching staff, because they just had a debacle with Kyle Bradish. There's no other way to frame that. Kyle Bradish is not ready for opening day this year because they waited on the surgery last year. They waited on the surgery last year to see what they could get out of him last year. They got about, 10 spins out with him. He said he was in pain the whole time, and then he finally got the Tommy John that most
significant
people
would have
said pain he needed originally. So with all that going on, whenever Grayson Rodriguez pitches next, if they tell you this is something small and he only misses a week, 2 weeks, if he does anything for 2 weeks, I don't care if they just call this a bruise. I would personally be stunned. Whatever it is, they better be in lockstep with him. They better have trust built up with him so that he's being honest with them, or they learn to read his body and his metrics in a way that they somehow avoid some of the pitfalls of the past.
And if you look last year, Mean Dean, he dealt with some tricep soreness, and he was on the IL for 6 weeks, and it's even more problematic because of what you're saying, Jason. Grayson's not built up at all. He's only thrown twice during spring training, so if that's the case, if it's anywhere near the similar timeline as Mean Dean, we're not going to see him till May.
Mean Dean, speaking to him, he's on the bump tonight when they take on the Tigers in Lakeland.
That's a big game. Yeah. That immediately makes it a big game. Yes. By the way, if this is a normal day, and there haven't been a whole lot of those down in Florida lately, if this is a normal spring training day and the skipper gets to work on time, then he would be normally speaking to the media 1 hour before the first pitch of a spring training game like this. So perhaps
at around 5 o'clock,
at 5, we'll have something from the skipper.
I'm still waiting for Mean Dean quotes, man. I want to hear his thoughts on the offseason. I haven't heard anything. I want to hear his thoughts.
Well, he generally steps up in a time of crisis. And this might be starting to qualify, Bone.
So let's hear more from our buddy, the Salt in the Swing, Tyler O'Neill, and talks about like the Orioles pounce on him quick. Remember, I was in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah,
for
they
the
were
Big
moving off of Santander fast. Yeah. Even if he had no market, why wait for that?
So talks about getting a deal done quick.
You know, I'm very thankful that I signed ahead of my market. You know, obviously, myself and a lot of guys were waiting for Soto to go, and that was holding up everything. But, you know, the Orioles came to me before that all started working, and it was a strong offer. It was within our ballpark. They gave me multiple years, and I'm really happy with where I'm at. You know, I'm joining a winning organization. There's a really young, good group of guys here, specifically left-handed, so I think I'm going to fit in really well over here. You know, them moving the dimensions of the ballpark in a little bit is great for me specifically. Obviously, left field was an absolute monster the last couple years, and I don't know if I would consider signing here with the way that it was in the past, but where it is now, it's a much more reasonable prospect to think of being able to slug on that side of the field, and obviously having a more neutralized right center field is going to be very good for my mental approach in the game and throughout the season. So I'm looking forward to capitalizing on all of that.
Sultan, he's happy to be here, Jason.
Oh, we lost it. Air guitaring it out.
I saw.
You were jamming.
Guitar hero.
Man, I wish we had the solo. Do you think we have any clips of him talking over the solo?
No, probably. You want to play Cut 10? Ben, you want to play Cut 10 real quick?
Let's see what we got in the background.
Yeah.
They were winning the division all year last year. Obviously, they you know, ended up in the wild card, but to be a 91-win team, you know, I'm really thankful that I can kind of jump that and do my part, and hopefully, you know, we can build on that this year. You know, hopefully we can keep things going, and I can just fill my role and play my part.
So there you go. Guitar solo. Well,
I could do that.
Yeah, you can keep going if you want. But he is now the Salt in the Swing for us.
He's the Salt in the Swing. Yeah, for however long we have. Yes. I don't know how many swings we're going to get out of him. Savor each one.
You used to count starts for Corbin Burns.
How about I count swings?
At bats?
Swings would be a lot. Now, the bone simulator could probably help me stay on top of that.
How many at bats does he have left? Like, that's probably.
How many at bats will the Salt in the Swing have as a Baltimore Oriole in his career?
Yes. How many we got? Like, come May, are we going to say we only got about 200 of these left? Is that what you're going to say?
Oh, I don't. 200?
It's going to be more than that. Right?
Is it?
I don't know if it gets hurt.
Is it?
That's
why I threw it there.
Yeah.
I will get you a number on the other side of the break.
We will do that. But also.
And if John Mioli doesn't come in with the Salt in the Swing playing in the background, something's wrong.
John Mioli covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. We'll get his thoughts about the bizarre Wednesday for the O's. And what's he think about these potential injuries? John Mioli joins us next here on The Fan. Orioles back in action this evening against the Tigers in Lakeland, Florida, as they're ramping up to get ready for the season. Obviously, Wednesday was a weird day, and then we got some ominous injury news yesterday. And let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. John Mioli covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner and joins us now. And John, thank you as always for your time. We are taking this from 30,000 feet, but we found Wednesday to be very bizarre. Between Grayson saying he was sluggish and he didn't have it in the bullpen, but still pitched, still threw 33 pitches, talked after the game and said he was okay. Hyder shows up an hour into the game, and then the next day it's tricep soreness.
Oh, yeah, an 89-mile-an-hour four-seamers.
Yeah, he couldn't get behind the baseball. Just your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, it feels like among all the injuries, that's the one that is the biggest red flag at this point. You know, I've been stuck in traffic on 75 going down to Fort Myers a time or two in my life, and that was unfortunate that all that happened while the manager wasn't there. I'm sure he was following and very much concerned like the rest of us. But it strikes me as a little strange. You know, Grayson Rodriguez, the last time we saw him pitch in an Orioles uniform, I believe was. Last time we saw him in an Orioles uniform, he basically scratched himself in the bullpen before a game because he wasn't really feeling He just didn't feel right, and that ended up being another lat issue, or maybe the same lat issue. I'm not really sure how to describe it, but this is someone who has known his body and knows what it feels like when it's not right. I guess you could say it's good news that it's not the same thing. He knows what that feels like, but also, you know, this is not something that you want to have happen at this point, because you're talking about a shutdown and you're probably talking about, at the very least, a delayed start to the season.
Well, we've got that, and we've got Gunner, who none of us think are starting. Anytime the skipper, sort of says, well, we're very, very hopeful he's going to be on the opening day roster, and he's, you know, he hasn't even been ramped up yet, and he's Gunner bleeping Henderson, you're probably taking a long view there. And then this Kittredge thing is troubling. Like, your Paisan, Morosi, we had him on earlier, he says it's fair to be concerned. Do you think it's fair to be a little concerned about this ominous week?
In a sense, I do. I mean, I wrote my column today at the Banner is basically that, like, it feels like I should be worried. I'm trying to figure out reasons not to be. I am the least. I think Gunnar Henderson is what you do take the long view on. Andrew Kittredge, you know, relievers are volatile from year to year. He pitched a lot last year. I know that the Cardinals loved him because he took the ball anytime they asked, and that means he pitched a lot. Yep. And that's, you know, these types of things can happen. I think that the way that the Orioles are built at the moment is that, like, you know, all these moves, for better or worse, are incremental. All the moves they've made are incremental additions to try to win as many games as possible and get to the playoffs. And, like, if you are trying to not be worried, you tell yourself that there's going to be significantly better pitchers in the rotation come September than there will be in April. And there's going to be, you know, a lot of these injuries that are a little concerning now could be cleared up by then. And, like, this is just a team that just has to get there. And that is what they're going to be evaluated on. What happens once they get there? I think the offseason moves will help that. But, like, there's no replacing Gunnar Henderson. Like, there's probably replacing Andrew Kittredge. Like, it might not feel good, but, like, you can do that. There's just no replacing Gunnar Henderson. So if you have to not have him for a week to have him for 5 months and 3 weeks, you do it every time.
Well, John, there might be replacing Grayson Rodriguez, where you said you'd take the long view with that as well, assuming he's not ready for opening day. We heard Brandon Hyde, within the past week, say that Albert Suarez is the number 6 and Cade Povich is the number 7. Do you see that playing out that way? Because we almost think, like, just keep Suarez in the pen, give Slim a shot.
I think that, you know, I think we know at this point, you know, spring training is about a lot of things. It's about getting guys ready. It's not typically about, like, spring performance meriting roster spots, for better or worse. You know, I always default to, and sometimes I forget in the moment, but I default to, you know, the point of building your roster out of spring training and setting an opening day roster is keeping as many players as possible. So, you know, there might be an extra spot in the bullpen where you can keep an Albert Suarez as your long man, kind of extra starter, and give Cade Povich that chance. Based on how he pitched in September and he's looked this spring, it seems like he absolutely deserves it. But I think if the Orioles, you know, had to choose right now, you know, the easiest thing to do is option the guys with options and keep the guys without options, and then kind of let that play out from there, because you don't really want to lose a player if you don't have to.
We're talking with John Mioli. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. John, any concern at all about Tyler O'Neill? He's, like, he's kind of yoked, and, like, these kind of injuries, I know they're saying nothing, but I seem to remember about a week or so ago, Hyde was like, nothing to see here with Gunnar Henderson, and here we are.
Yeah, I think him saying he expects, you know, Tyler O'Neill to be playing this weekend, which he did after the game, according to my pal Andy Koska down there in Sarasota. I take that as, like, you know, almost laying down a marker too. This is a player who has, over the course of his career, kind of accumulated little things that have caused him to have a couple weeks since on the IL. It almost feels like coming out and saying, like, yeah, he felt it today, not a big deal, he's playing this weekend, is, like, almost like expectation setting for, like, this is how it's going to go. We're not going, you know, this is a team that is happy to play without a guy for 5 days to not have him on the IL for 5 days. They could use him. Like, they've kind of always operated that way. So, you know, I think it's almost like a start as you mean to go on thing. Like, thank you for speaking up. You did not have to play this 6:05 spring training game in the first week of March against the Pirates, but, like, we're going to figure out how to make these things shorter for you and get you back on the field. Whether that works, I don't know. But you know, this is not somebody who has a track record of being a candidate to challenge for Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak. We'll say that.
Yeah. There have been instances of players who spent a considerable portion of their careers in other leagues, and little things, or seemingly little things — it's not a little thing, because if you can't grip the ball right, it's a huge thing — but the different baseball and this or that can lead to their acclimation process being off. Like, I'm old enough to remember Shohei Ohtani having a hell of a miserable first spring training in the major leagues. It does not seem to be the case with Sagano, just what you're seeing, what you're hearing about him.
Yeah, I was down there, so I was only down there for his first, you know, mm-hmm. time facing hitters, and that was pretty, you know, he faced a group of guys who spent, you know, he spent the Bowie Bay Sox All-Stars, you know, Dylan Beavers and Enrique Bradfield right. and Judd Fabian. Like, they didn't put him out there against the big boys, and it looked like he was getting a sense of everything that was going on. It wasn't, you know, if I was evaluating it on the performance, I would feel skeptical. Haven't really. I think what you've seen in the last two starts, especially the one that was televised, is somebody who is going to be a sum of the parts guy. You know, if he is not going to come here and live on a fastball, I would be surprised if he throws it very often at all. But if you can move the ball around the zone and you keep hitters off balance and you can locate and pitch where you want to, that is a formula for success. I think spring training is a time to kind of get a sense of that. It is a unique challenge, you know, for Adley Rutschman and the Orioles staff to make sure this is somebody who is throwing his best pitches in, you know, the best counts and locations possible all the time, because that's what it's going to take. You know, they have a lot of power pitchers over the years. They don't really have anyone like this who has had to succeed this way, and I think they have a lot invested in him succeeding this way. So as long as he's healthy and it's not like, you know, it's not bombs away and guys are just keying off on his fastball in spring training, because ultimately hitters are up there hunting fastballs in spring training. That's right. What happens. That's what happened when the minor leaguers were facing him in his first live. Like, as long as he's not getting his fastball pummeled in spring training, I feel like that's a good sign. But I think we're talking about a small sample, and one that, you know, is ultimately not going to mean a ton.
Are you buying that we're not looking at a six-man, now that we're getting a little deeper into this, and now that we've seen Grayson already dealing with whatever he's dealing with, and a lot of guys have been asked to make jumps, do you think at some point in time, Sagano has a day of the week that he's pitching like he did in Japan to at least help him get through part of this season?
I think there's going to be a time when they do that at some point in the season. You know, Michael Elias has said that part of the reason they were able to win the division in 2023 was because they went to a six-man in August when they really, really needed to, and guys got that rest. You know, if there's an opportunity to do it, they will. If you think back to this time last year, we all kind of thought Jackson Holliday was going to be on the roster, but literally just the schedule at the beginning of the season right. was among the cited reasons why that didn't happen, because they were going to run up against a bunch of lefty starters. And like, so if we take the calendar into consideration for that, given the amount of off days they have early in the season, a 6-day rotation is probably something that wouldn't make a lot of sense, or 6-man rotation, not something that would make a ton of sense early. But I think, you know, God willing, they have the candidates to do that. And there are 6 good starters to do that. It's, you know, with the age of some of the starters they've added, and with Grayson Rodriguez's issue that we're learning, you know, about as we go, that's not necessarily a given. But especially as you're integrating a Kyle Bradish or Tyler Wells into the mix, and, you know, hopefully July, August, September, that's something that could really benefit this team come the playoffs.
John Mioli covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. John, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. No more injuries, right?
Yeah. We got a long way to go. Coming up next, we could come back from this weekend, because remember, the new league year is next week. Ravens could have an extension with Kyle Hamilton and or Tyler Linderbaum when we come back on Monday. What could those deals look like? We're going to tell you next here on The Fan.
Well, we'll work on that. I mean, you know, I think I sat up here in 2019 and said we're going to try to retain as many of our good young players as we can, and I think we've done that. I'm proud of that, and I think you'll see that continue this offseason.
That was Eric DeCosta at the end of your press conference talking about extending his own guys, and two of those guys look to be getting top-of-market deals. That's center Tyler Linderbaum and safety Kyle Hamilton. And it's entirely possible when we come back on Monday, one of those guys could have a deal, because we're seeing teams around the league signing their own.
Yeah.
But what would a deal like that look like whenever it gets signed?
I mean, I think the reality is you're looking at over $50 million, or close to $50 million, or $50 million exactly, fully guaranteed for these guys, the safety, elite top safety market and the elite top center market, that a lot of the structures of the contracts and a lot of the money are similar. And we talked about Linderbaum earlier in the week. And I mean, really, Antoine Winfield Jr. is the contract to look at with Tampa Bay. It's the most recent and it reset the market. And they're similar kind of shape-shifting players. They're both teams that are trying to win now. There's a lot of comps. And so, you know, Winfield got $84 million over four, $20 million up front, $45 million guaranteed. He's making $21 a year. I think Kyle Hamilton could make the case that he's worth more. They also could make the case, though, that you've only played 3 years and we've got the specter of a fifth-year option. And, you know, he's had all these injury scares with his neck, right? How many times has he left with a stinger or whatever it turned out to be? It looked serious, but it wasn't serious. So I don't know how smooth it'll be. I don't know if it will be rocky. You're talking about the weekend. It would surprise me. The teams that are doing that stuff, by and large, are doing it to get cost certainty and to create some room to go into free agency and make some hay.
Neither.
I don't. These guys like being able to say, we've only got $12 million in cap space.
Sure.
So I don't know what the urgency is. Like, I don't think they're trying to get ahead of anything that's going to happen in this year's safeties market that's going to remotely come close to what Winfield just did to reset it. We're kind of in the same boat from the center standpoint. But yes, if they want top dollar and they're dead set on getting it, then you're talking about, you know, $90 million guaranteed or more for these two players.
Hamilton's going to blow by Winfield's contract.
I would think so. Yeah,
I have to think he's...
But
he's going to blow by that. And I'd be surprised if we get the training camp and he's not signed. I don't think anything's going to happen over the weekend. Now, if something were to happen over the weekend that would make sense to them, a Marlin contract would get them cap space. I know we brought up Henry in the past. Henry would get them cap space. Linderbaum's the interesting one because with Creed Humphrey, and we talked about this the other day, he totally reset the center market in terms of annually per year, $18 million per year. Frank Ragnow is the second highest per year at 13.5. But what Linderbaum has in his favor, that fifth-year option, remember, it's the offensive line. It's not center. It's offensive line. So he's got $23 million going his way if he hits that fifth-year option. So that kind of complicates it a little bit. Hamilton's going to get done. I would be very surprised if Hamilton's not signed before camp.
Jason, are you surprised that they haven't...
Lamar Jackson would get a deal by year three,
That's a different... Come on, that's a different stratosphere. You're talking 50-plus million. Hamilton's lucky if he gets half that.
Are you surprised they haven't adjusted that? And now that centers are making money, centers should be their own entity and guards should be their own entity?
It's a lot of chaos right now at the NFLPA. They're cutting staff. They are asking people to take buyouts. And I think they've been shocked by how many people have said, we'll take you up on that offer ahead of a labor shortage and we'll take that buyout. I think there's brain drain going on there right now. They've got a very inexperienced person running that union. So I don't know what they're going to prioritize and what they're going to fight for and what they're not going to fight for. From a team standpoint or a player standpoint, I think that's probably small potatoes at the end of the day. But I will go out on a limb and say, if you thought the NFL crushed the NFLPA in some negotiations before, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Wow.
Really?
Well, you know.
Bloodbath.
You know what I'm.
Oh, breaking out the bloodbath. Nnamdi Matabike
bloodbath.
Well, you know what I'm going to fight for? I'm going to fight for victory and bounce back fallback. And that's coming up next.
I'm going to fight for the salt and the swing as long as we got them.
That's next here on The Fan.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.